from compliance officer. Let me just ask, who are we going to lose at quarter two?
I think just me.
Just you? Do we still have a quorum? One, two,
yep.
three, four, five.
So you're good.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
But I wouldn't push the envelope any further.
No more envelope.
I thought we'd just come back and give you an update on some of the things that are really coming back to you in your future, also some items that you should be informed about. You know, as you're aware, with item number one regarding on-call pay, back in August of this 2015, the county sent an advisory around that they were no longer going to be collecting contributions on on-call pay. We also requested the departments to submit items for review for the possible inclusion, you know, based on the fact patterns that they were providing for their staff to have on-call reinstituted as being pensionable for that group. Just to put some scope on this, through the county, there's 120 distinct occupational classes that this impacted. All of them responded, all the departments, and 75 of those are with the health services alone. I've been in communication with the auditor controller and also with health services, and we've had some discussions going back and forth on this. I've made some requests for additional documentation to clarify each of their respective situations as far as why and the rationale that the on-call should continue to be pensionable, you know, for them. And we're getting down into some granular details because it's coming down to like the specific duties, and there's also some management of expectations as well, because when we do issue an advisory, or when and if we issue an advisory, that something might fit a fact pattern which might be considered to be a pensionable item as far as on-call, that is all it's going to be, is an advisory that, based on that fact pattern for that occupational class, it creates the criteria for the eligibility for that to be reviewed. It doesn't mean that it's all going to be included when someone retires from that occupational class. And I had a discussion with Dr. Goldstein yesterday at Health Services, and we talked about that at length, actually, because they've had a lot of questions with respect to how much of this is going to be included, you know, when we do estimates, that sort of thing. So, you know, based on that, that's one part of it. And then I'm referring them back to our internal procedures that benefit staff has to review all the compensation elements, not just on-call, but for compensation for work that's performed outside their normal scheduled after-hours work, overtime, for instance. There's a review process for that, and we'll be following that at the time of retirement or when an estimate is being performed for a member. So there is that separation that, you know, when these advisories go back to the county and to the respective departments, all that's going to be doing is establishing that eligibility criteria. But with a suitable disclaimers, you know, to that effect, much in the way that we do with the some of the ongoing pensionable determinations that we send back to the county as well. Related to this, some of the membership has been contacting the auditor controller, also the department has, with respect to return of contributions. Since the county sent the advisory and they stopped collecting contributions on on-call, there was a number of the active membership asked, well, shouldn't I get those contributions back? And we did prepare a communication. Those that have written into CICERA directly, we've responded to them that we've deferred that that issue until the outcome of the appeals case that's currently in the appeals court with the DSA going forward. And then once we have a resolution to that, then we can actually revisit the issue of return of contributions. Right now, under our plan document, under 401A17 requirements, I can't even see how we could affect that without a final resolution anyways, given the IRS code that we have to follow. So the county controller, the auditor controller, has received their own direct communications from active membership, and we've been copied on some of that. So the ones that are inquiring to the auditor controller, the auditor controller's office is responding to those directly back to the member. And we have our own similar communication that we're responding back. So any questions about on-call pay and that issue? For panel management pay, a request did go back to the county. You have talked with Bob at the Auditor Controller's Office, also with Dr. Walker and, again, Dr. Goldstein at Health Services. They are pulling the documentation. Verbally yesterday, I provided some additional clarification as to what you know they're looking for. Dr. Goldstein indicated that they are pulling all the schedules, timesheets for the four doctors that will be coming back, and will be providing an opinion back to Dr. Walker and Bob at the Auditor Controller's Office as to what character the pay was coded. So they're going right back to the source documents. Likewise, for the end of January, we're requesting that those four retirees, if they have any other detailed statements and documentation that would actually speak to that from the verbal statements that they made at Dr. Hurst and Dr. Hinman at the last board meeting in December when this issue was before the board, if they have anything else that they would like to include for your consideration, we've asked that they deliver that to us for the end of the month. And then that way it'll be in your packets for deliberating in February. So we have slated that for the February 10th meeting. I did receive a communication from Bob Campbell that he would not be able to attend the meeting on the 10th. However, I think that with all the documentation that might be provided, at least the board would be able to review and then deliberate on that fact pattern with respect to what was panel management, what wasn't, and what duties those doctors actually had performed. Because by then we'd have everything both from the doctors and from health services. So at least for that aspect, the board would be able to deliberate on that. So any questions on panel management pay? Yeah. Hey, this is going fine.
That means we're going to blow you up on number three.
Okay. So, the look back project, if you remember, did isolate a group, hazmat IRT members. The board deliberated on the pension for Paul Andrews last May. There was a test based on the motion at the time that the board had arrived at and how the methodology should be used for the adjustment to Mr. Andrews' pension. Using that same methodology and going back to collect the source documents, there was another 14 other members of the IRT team that needed to be reviewed under that same filter and same methodology, looking at any unusual instances of compensation enhancements, specifically with respect to on-call. I made requests to the county because of the varied time periods that each of the members had retired. Going back to the source documents, they had to go back into the archives. We're looking at a 3-year, 36-month period from the time of their retirement, so we had those comparative years in advance. So the information was not available in electronic form. So just compiling that, Health Services and the Hazmat Department took a considerable amount of time. And then disseminating that information, extracting and disseminating that information, putting it into a usable form that we were able to analyze, also took a considerable amount of time as well for each of the 14 individuals. We have the preliminary analysis done. The Benefits Department will be working on the numbers as far as the pension corrections to see what that would look like. So then we can do a final memo that will go through legal review, and then we'll have a communication that will be sent to each of the 14 members early February is when, at least sort of my timeline, we've slated it for. And then that might be tentatively on a meeting in March that will come back to the board.
Raleigh, are you envisioning a separate memo for each individual that you're asking the board to look at?
Well, there's going to be one single covering memo, which is going to have a high-level analysis and a summary, an executive summary. Then for each individual, much as Mr. Andrews had received one, there'll be a letter with their specific information in it. So in the board packet, you'll see all those individual communications, but each member is not going to receive everybody else's metrics.
Okay.
So.
Any other questions?
The second bullet here. Mm-hmm. When are we going to see the report with the, like, 30% people?
Okay, that's actually the ones that were, like, on an individual basis. There was the nurses, a couple of others. There's some select firefighters as well that was in there. At the time, we were going to bring those back on an individual basis because there isn't a large defined occupational group like the hazmat. So as those, once we get through the hazmat, those individual ones would come back under the compensation enhancement review policy back to the board for individual review. Would the board like to see something else as far as that vein? Would you like to see all of those encapsulated into another separate report which summarizes all those individual ones? Or
no,
I don't have a problem.
Okay. Just what we've outlined before.
Okay,
don't change it.
Yeah. So for the other ones that were identified with in the group, the additional source documentation is being compiled for those, and then once those are finalized, they will be individual memos that will go out to the member and then also back to the board for consideration. So over the course of the next few months, those might be coming back. So depending on what the agenda time is. And I'll be working with Gail and Karen for the legal review and then to place them on the agenda.
Okay. Anything further for Raleigh?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you, Raleigh.